Hi again, everybody, and welcome to Emrin's Podcast, episode 138. It's Friday, January 16th, 2009. Well, there are a lot of events going on next week, and I also understand there's something going on with Barack Obama, too.
Really? Is he in Washington? I hadn't noticed.
Rumor has it. What's joining me to talk about that is my co-host, Jason, who's a little bit under the weather.
Yes, we're having some fun stuff here, so I'm a little nasally and sniffly and coughing, and I'll try and not do that. Anyway, yes, Mr. Obama and his family are 2.5 blocks from where I work. So it's kind of interesting coming and going from work. There's sort of an amusing little story. I was coming back from Starbucks where I was getting hot chocolate, not coffee, because I despise coffee. Just thought I'd let people know that.
I was just thinking that today, oddly enough, but go on.
Yeah. And it looks like somebody's moving. You know, they're cordoning off traffic and blocking off the roads and whatnot. And they're telling people, there's a policeman in the middle of the street saying, okay, please stay on the sidewalk. Please stay on the sidewalk. So this guy's walking along. And he says, sir, please stay on the sidewalk. He says, well, I just want to cross the street. And he said, sir, please stay on the sidewalk. I says, well, I'm thinking, and I actually said out loud to this guy, said, you know, this good person was standing next to me. I says, if you push it, your Tuesday morning is going to take a radically different turn than what you've planned. And finally, he stepped back onto the curb. But it was just like, I'm sorry. And I have had this happen before. And it's just like, the policeman has the gun. You should obey him.
He's the badge, too.
Yes, he does. It was just, I could not for the life of me figure out why the guy just didn't wait.
Yeah.
You know, and in like 2 or 3 minutes, I didn't get to see him.
Well, I've heard some people in D.C. complain about the cops being a bit surly and I suppose grumpy, but I would think they must be under enormous pressure, maybe more so than any other inaugural. You know, partly because they're predicting so many people are going to show up, but also, I mean, the stakes are really high if they get it wrong.
Well, yeah, you know, they're out there. It's very cold. We have gotten cold weather, and I don't know if they're necessarily surly. Part of it is you're in the middle of an intersection, you know, and you have people coming from, you know, all sorts of directions, and you need to get their attention. And to my way of thinking, the guy, I don't think the guy was necessarily surly. He was just sort of being authoritative and saying, hey, I'm getting your attention, because people in Washington don't pay attention very well. That's the conclusion I've had come to after having lived here for as many years as I have. And they just don't, they don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a way to say, hey, I'm getting your attention, you know, do this. So it was amusing. And there was also, I was at my gym and I was overhearing this conversation between a couple of guys, and they didn't quite understand what the big deal was about. And I'm thinking like, yeah, well, we should really figure this out, people. But yeah, it's going to be amazing. I actually walked from my office down towards the White House, and you can actually go and see the reviewing stand, which is under construction, and took some pictures, which you can see on my blog, jasonsviewfromdc.blogspot.com. And then tonight, I walked from my office down to the Capitol and up to Union Station, which I'm still thawing from, but very, very impressive. And I will be putting up pictures to that in a little bit after we're done with this. And I'm going to the concert on Sunday, which was very interesting. All the details for quite a while was, oh, yes, and Sunday afternoon, there'll be a concert on the grounds of the Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah.
And you'd read somewhere else, oh, and on Sunday afternoon, there's going to be a concert on the grounds of the Lincoln Memorial. And then a third place, the exact same thing. And after a while, you go, okay, My understanding of afternoon is it starts at 12:01 and ends at 5:59. When during that time frame might the concert be? Of course, we now know it's at 2 o'clock.
Well, I had trouble finding out when the various formalities or whatever happened in the inaugural thing, you know, the inauguration itself, because right. I have to calculate the time differences. Obviously, I use my little Macintosh widget called Time something or other. What's it called? I'm just going to check because I highly recommend Time Scroller. It's an official widget you can get from Apple, and it works really well. But I digress. I needed to find out when these were, and I couldn't find that anywhere. Well, finally, I suddenly realized that probably go to the horse's mouth and went to the Presidential Inauguration Committee or whatever the hell it's called.
The PIC site?
That's it. And yes. Found out that everything starts about 10 a.m., your time, which for you people who want to take pity on me is 4 a.m. our time.
But he's not going to get sworn in until around 6 your time. So
yeah, that's what I was thinking. I thought we don't really need to be up there right from 4 a.m. And I'm certainly not going to watch Rick Warren no matter what time he's on. So that part doesn't matter. I thought I might go do something appropriate, like have a crap at that time or something.
I think it would be more appropriate to piss on something.
Well, whichever end needs to go. At
yeah,
that time.
That's true. I'm trying to figure out my where I'm going to go, because obviously I'm not going to get anywhere near. I'm not going to see him. Mm. You know, it's they're going to close off the parade route at 300,000 people, and you can do one of two things. You can either see the swearing in, or you can go to the parade.
Yeah.
In other inaugurals, a couple times that I've been there, you've been able to do both. And what I found, I was genuinely surprised at this, that the largest inaugural up until this point was 1.2 million people. And do you know who it was for?
Wouldn't have a clue.
Lyndon Johnson in 1965.
Really?
Yes.
I wonder why. Well, maybe because the nation was healing from the Kennedy assassination.
Well,
I'm
thinking that might have been it, but that's kind of. I was very surprised at that. I was quite surprised at that. So
I was surprised at how small W's second inauguration was.
Really?
Well,
who the hell would want to go?
Yeah. I personally don't know anybody who voted for him, so. Either
God.
Time, for that matter.
I actually do, but we won't go there.
Well, actually, I think I do, too, if I really thought about it. But not in 2004. In 2000, I know some people who either I know did or I suspect did. But I don't personally know anybody who voted for him in 2004. You know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Or is it the other way around?
Well, something
it's the other way around, Oh, whatever.
But I'm sort of using going down to the concert as a dry run to pick up my Jumbotron that I'm going to go near.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, why are you going to go down? It's just like, you know, I just need to be there.
Yeah.
I need to be there for a couple of reasons. The first and foremost is to see him sworn in, and second is to make sure George Bush is gone.
yes. I'll be looking on the TV to see that helicopter lifting off, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Maybe it can make a water landing, too. Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
No, that would make him a martyr. No, we definitely don't want that.
No, definitely not.
His valedictorian speech is tonight, and I really don't think I'm going to watch it because I might if I would like make sure that I don't have any shoes on the first floor of my house because otherwise I figure I'm going to wreck my TV and I'm not going to buy a new one. So it's been – quite interesting. There are, of course, sort of the trappings are starting to appear. They're working around the clock. I mean, it's going to be very, very cold.
Yeah.
They're working on the stages of these places.
Yeah.
And it should be. I'm really looking forward to it. Whenever I sort of go around the places, I get really, really excited, and I'm sort of feeling like I almost cried when I voted for him, so I'm thinking I'm going to be crying when he finally gets sworn in. That might not happen, but it's just it's just, I'm getting really excited. So.
Yeah. And actually, I know of a lot of other people who are as well, including some gay activists in the U.S. who were absolutely apoplectic when he named Warren to be the invocation person. They're sort of getting over it now. And I've actually heard some really interesting commentary, not about that specifically, but about, I guess, how they've how their viewpoint has evolved. Because some of them have been saying, look, even if he doesn't pay any attention to GLBT issues and only concentrates on what's best for America, that's still going to help GLBT issues or people. Because, for example, a gay person or lesbian doesn't get a mortgage as a gay person or a lesbian. They get one as a person. And so right. if you help people with their mortgages, that's going to help everybody. And he is more likely to be inclusive than any president we've probably ever had, I would suspect. I think he actually will deal with the various issues that GLBT people want him to deal with, like Don't Ask, Don't Tell and Defense of Marriage Act and all those things. Maybe not as fast as some of them might want. But as I've said this on my blog, I might have said it on our last episode, I can't remember. Barack Obama on his worst day is going to be a billion times better than George Bush was on his best. So,
well, and you can't solve, you can't solve some of the issues that you were talking about and some of the more important ones without addressing the economic issues and without addressing the bailout money and all that's involved in that. And there was a very sort of interesting article from I'm not sure if he's an economist, but he writes on the economy and how this was necessary and blah, 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 blah. And we can get really mad and, you know, go after the bankers and make sure that they don't have any money, but that doesn't, you know, solve, you know, some of the problems. The thing is that from an the way I look at it now, from an economic standpoint, people are not spending money. You need to do something.
Yeah.
So that people feel they can spend their money, spend money. And it seems to me the way you do that is certainly if somebody becomes unemployed during the time that they are unemployed, they should get some sort of a stipend for paying their mortgage. And it shouldn't just be people who own a home. It should be for people who rent. This is the single most, you know, where you live is usually your single most biggest expense.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's this, I mean, having been unemployed and it's like, you know what, it ain't paying the mortgage unless that's all you're spending the money on. You've got to be a little bit more creative.
Yeah.
And so maybe what you do is you say is in the time frame in which you are unemployed, and this would go beyond, maybe even beyond, say, okay, for a year, you're not paying any sort of rent. You're not paying any sort of mortgage. Because just because you get a job doesn't mean that you are then you automatically recover. It can take, depending on how much you make and what your expenses are, 3, 6, even 9 months to get back into the swing of things.
Yeah.
You know, where, oh, yes, I have a job, but there I've got, you know, all these debts. And also once you then go back and you have your job, the people who you've sort of put off are going, well, you've got a job now. Pay me.
Yeah.
You know,
Also some of the other things that they're working on as part of this economic recovery package about doing a lot of public works. A lot of other countries are doing the same thing. They're doing that here in New Zealand as well. The new government is basically to try to stimulate the economy and also get some useful things done at the same time.
Right.
Which sounds like a pretty win-win situation to me.
What some of the people have been talking about is that when you get people who are in economic distress, you give them sort of these breaks. It seems to me that one of the things you have to consider, which I read a lot about this, and I don't remember exactly who proposed this, but it's to come along and say for a period of time, you lower people's mortgages to 4.5%.
Mm.
The government pays the difference in, you know, like, you know, where my mortgage, which is like 5 3/4, they would pay that difference to the bank or something along those lines. And I figured out it would be a couple $100 a month, you know, which isn't a huge amount of money, but it might make you feel less, you know, spendthrift or, you know, less miserly or, you know, like maybe you'd pay down your debt.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting thing about it is, and this is a problem with the situation that we're in, is that what is good for the individual, which is for me to not spend money, for me to pay down my debt is bad. It's good for me in the short and long term, but it's bad for the economy in the short term as a whole, because then you're not spending. And it creates this vicious cycle of, you know, retrench, more people lose jobs, there's more uncertainty, retrench, and how do you break that vicious cycle?
Yeah.
Well, this could be a way of breaking that cycle, of giving people some sort of relief, because that, I mean, that housing is your biggest expense.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if what's sort of the point of this one guy's thing is that, you know, we have to restore credit so that banks will start to loan money, which is very, very true. However, if there's no one interested in a loan, you're not going to be spending any money. They're not going to be loaning anything at all.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not going to happen. So, yes, the banks have to recover. The banks have to be in a better situation. But if you don't have people wanting to get the mortgage or the car loan or the you know, refinance to do a home improvement project or to landscape their lawn or to read or to take a trip or whatever, which I guess people do borrow money to take trips, but you know what I'm getting at.
Mm.
The banks might be in great financial situation and have all this money and be capitalized, I think, as they call it, but they might not have anybody to lend to.
Yeah,
they the failure of, I think, the Bush administration. Gee, what a shock that is! is they have not figured out how to help the average everyday consumer, and I don't think it can be people who are just falling into a hole. That's almost too late.
Yeah.
There should be some program that you can offer. I mean, to say, you know, we'll help you with this. Certainly, anybody who's unemployed should have a break on their living expenses. They should be getting something more than just unemployment insurance.
Yeah. Well, the one thing we can say with certainty is that the economy and economic recovery is going to be the main thing that the new administration is going to be focusing on after they're finally up and running in a few days' time. And countries around the world are going to be glad to see the U.S. recovery.
Getting smaller and smaller. I never thought your counter would be, it's 5 days. It's 5 days. Anyway.
Oh, I know. I remember looking at my counter and seeing when it was hundreds of days. I'm thinking, oh, my God, is this administration never going to end?
Never end, yes.
But I've pointed out to a few people that those counters, the counting down to the inauguration, also coincidentally are counting down to my birthday. Isn't that convenient?
Yes, it is. And how old will you be then?
50.
Okay. Na, na, na,
na, na. Yeah, well, you're not that far behind.
6 months is 6 months.
Yeah, that's true. You always used to say that when we were young. When you turn 50, I'll still be 49.
I did say that, yes.
Bastard.
What an obnoxious twerp.
I know. But then I think that sort of goes with the territory, but...
Yeah, since we've sort of brought up Mr. Bush and his I guess, as I said, his valedictorian is tonight, and then just his ridiculous press conference the other day was just absurd.
Yeah.
Our standing in the world, and I read an interesting article on the language that he used, and this was... quite an interesting, an eye-opener to me. And he talked about how he was disappointed, you know, about, we didn't find weapons of mass destruction. And I was disappointed that this didn't happen and this didn't happen. But when you, I'm trying to phrase this in the right way, but you're disappointed. How are you usually disappointed? Are you disappointed in yourself, or are you disappointed by somebody else?
Yeah.
And usually, you're disappointed by somebody else. And the point that the writer was making is it was like Bush wasn't part of any of the events, which you could argue could be true.
Yes.
But it was just like he took no responsibility for anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when the economic crisis, well, you know, Wall Street was doing this, you know, 10 years ago. So it's Bill Clinton's fault. It's your fault. And
a lot of
the Republican apologists and people raise, well, you know, they were trying to expand housing, and this, it's very true. But there were signs, there were people saying this is a problem, and they refused to look into it.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, because the market will take care of it. Another thing which I thought was rather amusing in this person who I read in the post was that, you know, well, we need to let the markets take care of things, and then the people, you know, hopefully people have learned something. And it's just like, or maybe they haven't. You know, the markets are what caused this. The vast majority of the people who are supposedly the experts did not see this.
Yeah, they got it wrong as well.
Got it wrong. Some of them did get it right. Very few of them. But also, at least within the industry, these are the people who perpetuated this problem to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I saw this thing on 60 Minutes. I'm not sure if we mentioned it or not, but it's about the time the subprime ends, you're going to be kicking into these people who have these arms.
Yeah. Which is an adjustable rate mortgage for listeners who haven't heard the term before.
So, I mean, you start very, very low, and then after 5, 6, 7, or 8 years, it goes up.
Yeah.
And what they were saying, what they were seeing already, even with people under the arms, was a twice as normal default rate. Well, you know, oh my God, what does that portend? And so the government needs to step in, you know, and do something there. The main thing that sort of annoys me is that I played by the rules. I could have gotten $40,000 or $50,000 more on my mortgage without putting any money down, and I didn't. And it seems to me at some point, I don't want to make it all about me, but it is. but in general, I don't think my feelings are out of place. It's like, I did the right thing. I didn't overextend. I didn't see these ridiculous deals. Where do I go to get help? Do I have to be about ready to fall off of a precipice?
Apparently.
For somebody that comes along and helps me? And there's got to be something done to help that out. And there are some notions of offering not only people in distress, but everybody this 4.5% mortgage. And of course, it would be tied to income. Or maybe I'm thinking maybe even that's not necessarily the right way to do it. You know, I mean, there could be people who make a whole lot of money who are overextended. You just like say, oh, have good for you, go bankrupt, you know, be trashed. Maybe you say it's up to, you get this rate up to $250,000 mortgage.
Yeah.
You know, and then anybody who has, and if anybody has something above that, well, then you're going to have to pay at the going what the rate is. But it seems to me at this point in time, unless you're super, super rich, you got to help everybody across the board.
Yeah. And the main point is that they want to stimulate the economy, and you can't get people to spend if they're struggling just to stay afloat. And so something has to give somewhere. And we, you know, talk about the banks and the auto companies and now the porn industry and all these other people asking for bailout money. Well, that's all well and good, but if the people who are supposed to be buying these products and services don't have any money, what good is it going to do to prop up these mega corporations? But anyway, well, I actually think we're going to wrap up a bit early today because we want to spare your voice. But one of the things that that we did want to alert listeners to is that we're planning some changes for these Politicasts, as I've been calling them. And I actually just started dubbing it that because it makes it easier to see in the feed for people who are interested in them. Now, I've felt for a long time, and I've talked about this with Jason, that the Politicasts in some ways don't really fit with the overall Amarin's podcast because the podcast is about me in New Zealand and blah, 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 blah.
Always all about you.
It's all about me. What's the point of having a personal podcast if it's a personal journal podcast if it's not about you,
that's
eh?
That's true. You should read Copernicus and extrapolate anyway.
Yes. Well, so, pardon me. See, it is all about me.
Yes, it is.
So the ultimate plan is that we are going to be moving the Politicasts into probably twice monthly format, which will be a standalone podcast. However, anyone who listens to it through the Amarins podcast doesn't need to do anything because I'm going to continue to post it in my normal feed. So you don't need to worry about that. But those of you who are only interested in the political podcasts and not in the rest of my stuff, well,
thousands of people.
Yes. Yeah, there would be about 30 or 40,000, I would say.
Easily.
There will be an alternative. Now, we don't have all of the details worked out. We had hoped to, but with recent events, I've been a wee bit busy and haven't been able to tend to some of those things yet. So, but we'll keep you up to date with things as they happen. I'm guessing that our next Politicast will be in early February sometime. We haven't set the date yet, but that's when we'll probably start a semi-monthly. Is it bi-weekly? Whatever. Twice a month schedule in February. And we'll take it from there. So that's sort of, a bit of an announcement of what we're intending. And, of course, support and suggestions are always welcome.
Yes.
But now, I'm going to go over comments. And once again, I'm going to read them to save Jason's voice.
Good. That's a good thing.
And the first one is actually over at the old Podomatic site. And it's from Candy, who said, it doesn't actually say, it says 29 days ago. I don't know when that really was posted. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, she says, Arthur and Jason enjoyed this show a great deal. Love the banter back and forth. You stimulate the three brain cells I have into learning something. Amazing. Keep up the wonderful podcast. Winks and hugs, Candy. Thank you very much, Candy.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yes, and as I said,
three brain cells. We don't have three between us.
Especially at our advanced age.
I know. You probably keep it in a jar by the bed.
Yes.
At some point in time, we'll have to explain that. But anyway, we'll go on.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you see, that's another thing. When we focus more on a sort of a spinoff, it'll probably give us some opportunity to talk about other things as well. I mean, not that we can't in this format. It's just, I don't know. Anyway, and over at AmarinsPodcast.com, Faith said, Hi, Arthur. I'm an Episcopalian, and yes, I agree with you and Jason about how incredibly offensive it is for some Christian, that's in quote marks, minister, to proclaim that they speak for us all. The principal tenet of Christianity is not to judge others, and I am bitterly offended by people who use judgment as a weapon against others. Jesus was quite clear about not judging others or using spirituality as a weapon to bolster one's ego. I would also point out that Jesus was quite popular with dodgy company, like prostitutes and losers. But fuck if you hear that from whoever these idiots are that espouse political shit and pretend they speak for Christianity. It's rude. Jesus help any of these people who who hide behind the teachings of Christ in order to further their personal agenda. Nothing makes me angrier, seriously. It's a slight on my beliefs, a slight on the church, and a huge slight on our collective intelligence as a people. Christianity is not a fixed set of regimens set down 2,000 years ago, regardless of what some jackass would have others believe. Spirituality is an intensely private issue that does not need to be vetted before a council of self-interested fucktards in order to have meaning. You go, girl!
Yes, I would totally agree on that.
And yes, I have no issue confronting bigotry where I find it, whether inside or outside my personal beliefs. That is, to me, my duty as a Christian, to celebrate all our differences with equal enthusiasm, whether I think they are wrong or not. I am not and never will be Christ. I am myself and no better or no lesser than any other person. But I can choose to find wonder in the divine which resides inside every living being and possibly some inanimate objects, inanimate ones as well. It's incredibly hard not to judge others. Witness how I judge those who offend me. I'm not perfect, and do not expect perfection in others. But fuck all if I don't expect them to be humble about their idiocy. It's such a thin line between judgment and hypocrisy. I don't have all the answers. I never will. All I can do is strive to be honest about it. Anyway, love listening to you and Jason. Forgive my bad language, and thank God you and your partner live in a place not fascinated with your nether region, your nether bits, and what they do.
Your please, naughty bits.
Please consider running a halfway house for displaced Americans, Rhonda. Well, thank you very much, Rhonda. That was a great comment.
Yes, very, very nice.
Now, I did respond to that at the time. And I'll just read what I said, because I actually haven't read this since I wrote it. So we'll see what it says. It's a great comment, Rhonda.
Trip over that.
Yeah. Made me laugh at all the right places. I can agree with and appreciate what you're saying, even though personally I'm no longer a practicing Christian. I think you're especially right about how hard it is not to judge. I think it's completely normal. It's a completely normal human thing, since evaluating and judging was necessary for survival among the first humans. I think the difference is that the far right puts their judgmentalism into action, while the center and left tend to avoid confrontation so as to not do this. But I also think you're right about the teachings and examples of Jesus. And it seems to me that his followers on the center and the left need to be more forceful about promoting their understanding, and yes, that means standing up to the right wing. After all, the right has no problem saying theirs is the only correct way to believe. Thank you for challenging bigotry. Quite frankly, I think that very often bearing witness to another interpretation is all that's necessary to stop the march of hate. Thanks for listening and for your kind words. And as the comedian Dave Allen used to say, may your God go with you. Oh yeah, one last thing. Don't worry about language. I don't censor comments for language. Besides, I hardly have any room to complain. And ain't that the fucking truth?
Yeah, it is. I would agree with her. And I think the thing that's different, we are sort of judging them back, but the difference is that they want their beliefs imposed on everybody.
Yeah.
And at least personally, I'm going to speak for me. I'm not going to speak across the board. It's just like, you can have your beliefs, but don't come along and decide, you know, this is the way you need to act. This is the way, my morality is your morality. I think there are some things that we can all agree on, but, you know, there is, and it's not gray area, but it's different interpretations. But it was interesting when Sarah Palin was yet again in the news. Why can't she just freeze up there in Alaska? And talking about, you know, Caroline Kennedy, and it's a class thing, and how they went after me. It's just like, dear, Caroline Kennedy wants to be a senator. You wanted to be a heartbeat away from the presidency of the United States. There is a huge difference.
Caroline Kennedy is smart. She's a moron.
There is, I can see Alaska from my house. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist that one.
Yeah.
But also, you know, like, oh, and they went after my family and all these things. It's like, well, you paraded your family. You know, it was just like, oh, and the wonderful family and the great kids and blah, 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 and all this over and over and over again. So I'm not necessarily saying that what was done was fair, because I don't think it was, but you opened yourself up for that.
Yeah.
You also opened yourself that you're this, you know, this high and mighty, you know, great, moral, outstanding family, and your daughter was knocked up out of wedlock.
Yeah. A teenage daughter.
Right.
Yeah.
And if this had happened to a Democratic candidate, the right would have gone ballistic.
Absolutely.
Oh, their morality, blah, 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 blah. So, you know,
yeah.
There is a glimmer of, more than a glimmer of hypocrisy there.
Yeah. And that's actually across the board in the Christianist right, generally. And I've sometimes been called out for this, calling various Christianist leaders bigots and homophobes and things, but very often they are, and pretty blatantly so. And one of them is this guy named Gary Bauer, who used to be with Concerned Women for America. And I've forgotten what his new group is called. Oh, Truth About Homosexuality or something like that. Anyway.
Knuckle Walkers Anonymous?
Yeah, basically. I think it's probably one guy in a computer, but that's just me. I don't know. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, you know, the gay activists were all up in arms about Rick Warren giving the invocation. Well, the Christianist right started frothing, as they always do anyway, saying that it was Christian bashing. It's Christian bashing. Well, when it was announced that Gene Robinson, the openly gay Anglican bishop, or sorry, what do you call it? Episcopalian bishop, was going to be...
Catholic light.
Yeah.
Was, all exactly. The ceremony with half the guilt. Sorry, yeah. I had to add that.
Well, he was going to be doing the invocation at the concert. This Gary Bauer then started talking about how Gene Robinson isn't a real Christian because he didn't, basically, because he rejects the bullshit from people like Gary Bauer. And that just completely reinforced my point that I've been making, that these Christianists will not only utterly dismiss, but condemn and slag off and any other negative term you want to use, anybody who is a moderate or liberal Christian. And that's not Christian bashing for some reason. Now,
no.
I utterly reject that.
Well, because they're not really Christians.
Well, see, exactly. And that's what my problem is when, and I've actually been blogging about these general topics lately.
Well, it's also the wording that they used to use. And we talked about this the last time. You know, it was Christians believe this.
Yeah, or people or people finally, of faith.
Now the tagline is people of faith.
Yeah.
And that's Rick Warren's line. And somebody really needs to come along and say to him, so what you're implying is that if someone doesn't believe exactly the way you do, they're not a person of faith.
Exactly. And that's actually what I was trying to say last time as well, and what I've been saying in the blog and elsewhere, that moderate and liberal Christians need to stand up to the right. And when they use the term people of faith, they have to challenge them on it and say, now, hang on a minute. I'm a person of faith, and I believe in abortion rights, or I believe in same-sex marriage, or whatever the issue is. It doesn't matter specifically which one. And I mean, I'm certainly glad to see that Rhonda does that. And I actually have a cousin who does that as well. And other people I know personally have done that, but not enough do. And that, I suppose it's my plea that as we enter this new age with little a, with Obama as president, that people start taking back the country in its entirety from the right wing. Because the far right is a tiny percentage of America. Those of us who are somewhere near the center are in the majority. And it's about time we took our country back from the morons who've been running it. And I think that means taking back our churches. Well, not my church personally, but
I rather ironically, I believe, let me see if I get this right, Wednesday or Thursday is the anniversary of Roe v. Wade.
Is it really?
Yes. So guess who will be here?
Yeah. Yay. Oh, well. Well,
we'll be really, really ready for everybody to go home then.
Yes, sure. I bet. Well, I think with a lot of people, we're both looking forward to the new administration and the changes that it will bring. I know I'm certainly excited about all of what that means, and I think it's fun that the inauguration is being held on my birthday due to the time zones. But I'm still trying to decide if that's my all-time best birthday present or not. I haven't quite worked that out yet, because I don't know, my poor late kitty cat would have to give it a run for its money, I think. But
okay.
We'll see. I'll let you know what I decide.
Okay. All right. I'm sure everyone will be holding their breath.
I'm sure they will, too.
Turning blue.
Yes. Well, what I have coming up is I have one podcast next week for sure, which I'm actually going to be releasing on Monday instead of Tuesday. Monday, my time, it's Sunday in North America. Because next week is going to be a very busy week, and I'm probably not going to have time to do another one. If I do, I'm going to record it in advance and post it later. So look for the next episode of the Amerinds Podcast to be out on Monday, New Zealand time. And you've got photos that you're going to be putting up on your blog. That's right.
All things inaugural. I'm hoping to. I'm having to figure out, because they're not allowing you to take down backpacks. So I'm figuring out. Okay. Digital camera, one pocket, video camera in another, Pop-Tarts in the inside pocket. I have to sustain myself during these long, trying hours out in the but yes, I have stuff up now. And again, it's Jason's View from DC.blogspot.com. And there'll be a link in the show notes.
There will indeed. There. And actually, there's also a permanent link on my blog now as well.
Yes, good. So anyway, I'm going to be doing stuff. I'm going to be doing a lot of pictures. I've done a lot of pictures. I'm not sure that I will be wandering around too much tomorrow because it's going to be really cold and really windy, but yeah. I might venture out to do some stuff. Probably a few more pictures on Saturday, and there'll be stuff from the concert.
Very
good. I'm sure I'll get, Bruce will come over and shake my hand, and I'm sure I'll get a picture of that. Probably not, but you never know.
You never know.
Stuff happens.
Indeed it does. Okay, well, that will be it from us for this month. We'll, as I said, we'll be back in early February with the new format and all that, so that's something to look forward to. And a reminder that there's a new voicemail line. You'll hear that in the closing, but it's 206-666-5172. I lost the old one.
666.
I know. It's a devil's number. Mind you, there are plenty of people probably think I am the devil anyway, so I suppose it's fitting.
Oh, it's good to have a hobby.
Indeed.
As I always say.
Indeed. Okay. Well, until next time, that's bye from Auckland, New Zealand.
And that's bye from Washington, D.C. Happy inaugural, everybody.
Woohoo! You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed on a Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.